This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May the peace, blessings and mercy of Allah be upon you all. Welcome back to our program Deen at Dawn. Calling people to the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the mission of the Anbiya. لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. وفي رواية من حمر النعم, the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah azza wa jal uses you for the guidance of one single person, it is better for you than all what can see the sun, better than the whole world, better than all the ornaments of life, subhanallah. And so every Muslim is required and encouraged to give da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because either you give da'wah or da'wah is going to be giving to you. Either you knock on the doors of people or people are going to be knocking on your own door. Either you affect or you're going to be affected. Alhamdulillah, we have in our midst one of the du'at to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's a representative of a great organization, da'wah organization, that's giving da'wah all over the world, and they are based in United Kingdom. Brother Adnan Rashid, the head of African da'wah at AIRA organization. Let's welcome him. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Adnan.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khairan for joining us and coming to South Africa and specifically Cape Town.
It is my honor.
We are so happy to have you here in this program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your efforts. May Allah open for you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the hearts of people to your da'wah. Allahumma ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Brother Adnan, in the beginning, tell us about the purpose of this visit and give us some information about your organization as well.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for inviting me to be with you today. The purpose of this visit is to actually highlight the work of AIRA in Africa. We are currently in 11 countries. And we have nearly 300 full-time da'wah personnel working in these 11 countries. And alhamdulillah, in the last year alone, we had 50,000 people accept Islam. Out of these 50,000, 39,000 people received new Muslim training program, what we call it the retention program. So our focus is basically to retain the new Muslims. What happens in Africa, a lot of people accept Islam in hundreds of thousands, but there is no follow-up. They're not supported. They're not taught anything about Islam, and they're just left to fetch for themselves. What AIRA specializes is to reach out to these new Muslims. First, give da'wah, and when they accept Islam, stay with them. We stay with them for at least a month to teach them the basics of Islam. And then we have a second stage whereby we appoint imams and teachers for these new Muslim villages or villagers to continue the da'wah or continue teaching them. And then the third stage is to build an institution for them, like a masjid, like a madrasa, where children can continue to learn the Quran. So this is our work in a nutshell. And alhamdulillah, so far so good. We are very happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us, privileged us with this opportunity. And we plan to launch teams in every single sub-Saharan country. Our vision is to take the message of Islam to every single house of sub-Saharan Africa, as is the vision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Islam will enter every home on the planet, whether that home is made of mud, hair, or leather. So the purpose is to fulfill that particular vision, which is a global vision. My basically remit is Africa. Within the organization.
MashaAllah. Yeah. MashaAllah. The whole world is thirsty for Islam, and Africa specifically is thirsty for Islam. MashaAllah. Yeah. And you find that the innate nature of people is not polluted. They accept the da'wah when you give them da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, and they find follow-up. They accept the deen of Allah azza wa jal. Tell us, I believe you have some programs here. Maybe you can shed some light on these programs. Where can people can meet with you, inshallah?
Inshallah. We started with Johannesburg, and we did a da'wah course there, and we did a dinner with the local Muslim community in Pretoria.
MashaAllah.
And we then moved to Durban. We did a program there for the local Muslim community there. And then we moved to PE, which is Port Elizabeth. And we had a few talks and lectures in Masajid there as well. In Cape Town, alhamdulillah, today we're going to be doing a talk at Maghrib time, and tomorrow we have a debate. I have a debate on Saturday. The date, I think it's the 26th August 2022. I will be debating a Christian pastor. His name is Rudolf Bischoff. And it is going to be a friendly dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Debate sometimes gives this impression that you're going to be throwing slurs and insults at each other. No, that's not what we do.
Manner, yes.
Yeah, we will be debating in a friendly setting. And the purpose of this debate is to basically highlight the position of Islam as to why it is an option mm-hmm. for many people to consider, mm-hmm. inshallah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you success in all of that. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Talking about your visit to Africa, and you already went to many countries in Africa, what are the challenges in your opinion that faces da'wah in Africa?
We have many challenges. We have, firstly, we find it very difficult to find the right people to give da'wah.
Mm.
Because the Quran states very clearly that Allah sent prophets to call people to Allah in their own language or from within the people. So we believe that we have to work with our local brothers here in Africa who are native to Africa to call their own people. So it's very difficult to find good brothers who are learned enough to give da'wah to the masses here. There is a real deficit of highly qualified brothers who are, mashallah, able to do da'wah. So that's one of the challenges, to find the right people for this purpose. But there are many beautiful, great, intelligent, very, very dedicated, sincere brothers we are working with who are giving da'wah in their respective countries, right? And they are local brothers, they are Africans. And we have seen the results that when African brothers are giving da'wah in Africa, it bears amazing fruit, alhamdulillah. So that's one of our challenges, to find the right people for the job, okay? The other challenge we have is basically sometimes it's not easy to travel to remote areas and to stay in villages. So our du'at, our brothers, they have to stay in villages, because when people accept Islam, they don't leave.
Mm.
They start the new Muslim classes the next day. So they teach them how to read Fatiha. They help them memorize Fatiha. They help them memorize short surahs of the Quran. They teach them how to pray salah, to make wudu. And this takes a while, okay? For that, they have to stay in the villages. So sometimes they're living in tents. Sometimes they are hiring small spaces or renting small spaces to live in. And they have to remain in these villages. So that's one of the challenges our brothers face. Okay. Other than that, alhamdulillah, you know, if there are no challenges, there's no fun, as they say, right? So challenges make you stronger. You know, one of the German philosophers, Nietzsche, he said that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have challenges, but alhamdulillah, we try our best to overcome them, and we are getting stronger and stronger. We're going from strength to strength.
How about the finance as a challenge?
Finance is absolutely a challenge, no doubt. We need more and more Muslims supporting this work. And this is one of the reasons we came to South Africa as well, to get the local South African Muslim community to support the work of IERA as an organization, because we are working in Africa. We are actually working in South Africa too. We have a team in South Africa which is going to expand, and our focus will be giving da'wah to the natives of South Africa, mostly the Zulu people and the Xhosa people. We want to reach out to them with compassion, with love, to share the message of Islam with them. And it's a big challenge. Mm-hmm. Finances, the more we have, the more we can basically hire and employ full-time du'at. You cannot pay for da'wah. You cannot pay someone for da'wah, okay? The reason why we need finances is to take care of the daily needs of these brothers who are giving their life to the cause. So imagine if a man spends his entire month in the village, who's going to take care of his family? He has wife, he has children. So what we do is we give them a stipend, okay, to take care of their family, right? So that they can continue work full time. The example of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he was chosen to be the caliph, and he was found selling and buying in the market by Ali and Umar, both of them radiallahu anhuma. And they said, "What are you doing? What are you doing in the market?" He said, "I have a family to feed. I am the Khalifa of the believers, no doubt. I'm the leader of the believers, but I have a family to feed." So they asked him, "How much do you need?" He said, "Half a goat." He had a big family. He said, "Half a goat." They said, "We will give you one goat." Not half a goat, we will give you one complete goat. Go and do the job of the Muslims instead of buying and selling in the market, because this is not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be taking care of the affairs of the Muslims. Based upon that logic and that example, we tell our brothers, go and do your work in the villages, do da'wah, take care of any Muslims. your families will be taken care of by the Muslim community. So this is why finance actually is one of the biggest challenges.
That's why I mentioned it.
Thank you for mentioning
it. Because you see what happens in the mentality of our people is that they think, okay, if this person is a da'i to Allah or a scholar, he shouldn't be taking any money or anything.
Yeah.
And that's why you see, for example, imams or mashayikh or du'at to Allah, they taking the least. Yani. However, they are the people who are actually planting the seeds in the whole community.
Absolutely. And these are the people, as long as they're sincere and they're dedicated to the work, they are the ones who need to be supported. Okay, mm-hmm. Because these are the torchbearers of Islam. These exactly. are the frontline preachers of Islam. Okay, if you don't take care of them, how are you going to take Islam to the non-Muslims?
That's it.
It's very simple. It's very, very simple calculation. Mm-hmm. Most people fail to make, right? You can't expect someone to go and do the work and then Allah will send down man and salwa. It doesn't work like that. Allah has sent Muslims for this purpose. The blessings are already there. We're not using them. The wealth the Muslims have,
exactly.
Yeah, it is a blessing. Use it for the right reason.
This reminded us of Sahaba such as Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, all those great companions who had the wealth.
Absolutely.
And used to support the da'wah.
And you see, amazingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with Jannah.
Exactly.
On the tongue of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So because of their charity, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he was promised Jannah multiple times. First, when he bought a well, Bir Ruma, for the Muslims of the city of Medina because they ran out of water. So the Prophet said, who will buy this well and I will promise him Jannah. And he knows Uthman has the money, but he's not putting Uthman radiallahu anhu on the spot. He's basically waiting for him to respond, and Uthman responded. Likewise, at the time of Tabuk, we have examples. So the purpose is to use your wealth for a noble cause like this, right? And when we take care of these brothers who are doing da'wah, they do it with strength, mm-hmm. with confidence. They don't have to worry about their wife and their children. So this is why we, as an organization, of course, we, alhamdulillah, a lot of Muslims around the world support this work. They want this work to continue. But in comparison to other faiths, for example, other faith groups, without mentioning any specific faith groups, in comparison to other faith groups, Muslims are miskeen. We are very, very limited, financially speaking, as da'wah organizations. If you look at other faith groups and their da'wah organizations, right, they are, unbelievably dedicated.
The amount they spend
on their preaching and their propagation of their faiths is unbelievable. In comparison, we're not even doing,
100%.
We're not doing much. We're not doing much financially
speaking. I agree with you. 100%. Yeah. And that's why we remind our viewers of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Man jahaza ghaziyan faqad ghaza. If you support someone who's in the path of Allah, it is as if you yourself is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I grab this opportunity. I invite everyone who's watching us right now to keep the du'at of Ayra, inshallah. Keep the du'at, those who are giving da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Support them and help them with every possible way, in every possible way, inshallah. And not only the du'at of Ayra, but any Islamic institutes, any Islamic library, any Islamic masjid, madaris, we have to support these Islamic institutes in our midst in order for it to flourish and to grow and to protect the deen and to spread the deen of Allah. I always say this in the program, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all those who are donating and carry this warrior for the deen. We don't want to come on judgment day and then find our neighbors holding our neck and says, he was my neighbor for so many years, he didn't do anything, so he didn't invite me to Islam. But you can invite indirectly by supporting the organizations who are giving da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming back to you, Brother Adnan, I'm requesting a message from you to our non-Muslim audience, our human brothers out there who are seeking the truth and want to know, what do you advise them?
I advise them to seriously think about Islam. Islam is a very straightforward way of life. It is the best way of life because it's true. Okay, it is from Allah, it is from the Creator. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets to bring his message to the people on planet Earth in different places at different times for different reasons. Here, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the Arabs in the 7th century And he preached this message, which was not a new message. The message was already sent. What was the message? There is only one God worthy of worship, and that God is Allah. This is the message of Abraham. This is the message of Moses. This is the message of Jesus. All of them said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And this is exactly what Islam is. La ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. And the Quran is the final message for humanity. And the Quran is unchanged. It is exactly as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad, taught to his companions. And we have received the text in its original form, in the original language. There are no corruptions made into it. Nothing was taken out of it. The Quran came directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via Jibreel to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it reached us in exactly the same form. So this is the only scripture in the world that claims to be exactly how it came down. Okay, there is no other scripture in human history that can claim that kind of purity, because even the proponents of those faiths, they will tell you that their scriptures are not as pure as they were meant to be. So Islam, for that reason, is a way of life that makes perfect sense. It makes you a better person. It makes your life better. It brings you happiness. Most importantly, the most beautiful thing about Islam is it takes away your spiritual challenges, your psychological challenges. It makes you a happier person. Allah tells us in the Quran, "Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub." Is it not in the remembrance of Allah, in the remembrance of your Lord, your Creator, your God, that hearts find peace? And wallahi, by Allah, those people who become Muslims, who accept Islam, their hearts become peaceful. They find peace in prayer. They find peace in dedication to the Creator. So my message to our non-Muslim friends, our non-Muslim brothers and sisters in humanity, is to seriously contemplate about this faith. It is not a joke. Life is not a joke. Life is not a game, right? Life is very serious. We only have this chance to make or break our hereafter. Okay, so if you really want to be on the right side of history, as they say, or on the right side of God, then think about Islam very, very seriously, because you can see the fruits of Islam. Look at the Muslims around the world. Okay, we still have our family values. We still have our children with us. We still have our strong family bonds. We still have our communal bonds. We help each other. Okay, we see another Muslim as a brother, right? And this is what we have been told by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad. So there are so many beautiful things about Islam that I can go on and on and on. And this particular issue, what's so good about Islam? Why should people even consider it as an option? Okay, this topic in itself is just a huge topic that cannot be addressed in a short setting like this. But do contemplate about Islam. Do take it very seriously. Read the Quran. Read the Quran and make your own minds up. Read the Quran with an empty mind. Let the Quran speak to you, and you decide whether it can come from a human mind.
Amazing, mashallah. Yeah. I used to, this reminded me actually when I was young, and I used to say to myself, I was an Arab, originally Arab, so I used to read the Quran in Arabic and say, how can a sane person read this book objectively and doesn't believe in it?
Yes.
The Quran makes absolute sense. It's appealing to the mind, appealing to the soul. You just read it for yourself. It's a proof. SubhanAllah. Barakallahu fiqh, Sheikh Adnan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you for this short interview. May Allah accept from you. And may Allah make it a success, inshallah, Ameen. During the coming interviews, and also the webinar that you're going to be holding, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from Aira and all the organizers. Jazakumullah khairan for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much. My honor.
Barakallahu fiqh. Allah taqabbal minna minkum. All right, we came to the end of this segment of our program. Jazakumullah khairan for watching. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.